You know, Carl, you have a little one, a child.
I do.
And how old is she now?
8 years old.
8 years old. You know, sometimes little girls and little boys get afraid of the dark and the shadows and stuff like that.
Yes, they do.
And years ago, I wrote a poem called Who's There? For a child who was a little bit afraid of a dark hallway.
Okay.
Here it is.
I'm interested.
Who's there, hiding in the darkness near? A timid flame of trust lights the hall, and mine to make the black disappear, and the nightmare's end of what might befall. What was that? See that? There upon the wall, a darting form leaping past the light, bounding from the bright and scattered sprawl upon the hall, seeming all affright. Who's there? Will it jump out from behind the chair, a ghost hiding all alone? Or are there two, maybe more, combined, lurking in the dark, and it's unknown? Is what we fear imagination, frightening the wits from out a child, as shadows flow in animation, and the wonderment of creatures wild? Who's there? No one is, not anyone. It is the dark, dancing with the flame. See it waltz and spin and turn and run. Shadows like to tease and play a game.
That's wonderful. That's beautiful. Now, and that is the style of poetry that I find particularly interesting, because it is not necessarily rhythmic and rhyme. It is more poignant and specific. Does that make sense? I don't know what they call
that. Well, it does. I mean, I am what is called a neoclassicist in the type of poetry that I like to write, which means I write in rhyme and meter.
Meter.
Whether it's a sonnet or whether it's iambic pentameter or a four-line stanza or something what is called couplets.
Yes.
But that works for me. But I also like the subject matter to have some kind of profundity. If possible.
It's a lost art. I remember, and we may have mentioned this before, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, if I have, but in the coffee houses of Greenwich Village many years ago, and this is Greenwich Village, New York, a closet in a house hidden in the woods was described by once, a closet in a house hidden in the woods. You got to find the woods first. However, it was just what I used to call speak poetry, or poetry in... not in rhyme, but in measured tone. And it was always, in many ways, hypnotic. And the coffee was like drinking gasoline. But it was the kind of stuff that was poetic for the time and was very politically based. Very, very hard to get away from the hooks that was...
The coffee houses of those days, everything was... political. You're talking about basically anti-war, weren't you?
Well, it was anti-war, but it was also anti just about everything else. You figured it was anti-something, and it was all about freedom and love and all that other kind of good stuff.
I remember a professor saying to me once, there's not enough anger or pain in what you're talking, in what you're writing about. I said, I don't want to write about anger and pain.
I'm not angry.
I like the beauty that I see in the world.
Yes.
Let's write about that on a continuing basis.
I love that. None of anger and pain in your writing. That's beautiful. But I found it to be at that point in time, it was of a time. And I've been saying this to people, and they keep asking me, what does that mean? Music of a time. The big band era was music of a time. Mm-hmm. It defined the 30s, 40s, and even the early 50s. It defined that time, about 15 years. And by the way, and there's a wonderful book coming out, and it's going to be a PBS special. It's about how we lost the big bands. Hmm. We lost them because of World War II, unfortunately.
You think?
Yes, we did. I thought that their sound was unique and of a time, but that time was cut short. Because of World War II, because that it interrupted everyone's lives, including the music industry and the radio business and all of that, that makes that kind of... Most of those guys wound up in the military. Anyway, I digress. Go ahead. You have another...
No, I do. I remember living in a different part of the country, particularly growing up in the Northeast, you have all your seasons. Then for a long time, we moved to Southern California, where you have a desert
environment. One season.
Basic. Well, there's a rainy season and there's a dry season.
For about 2 weeks.
Yeah. But I remember the feeling one day of when it rained for the first time in maybe a year, at least that I felt.
Okay.
And I took my shirt off and I ran outside just to feel the rain.
That's fascinating.
And then I came in and I wrote a poem called Desert Rain. So here it is.
Please.
I heard a sound that's been away, though part of someone else's day. Splattering the ground in cadence time, each drop harmony in rhyme. My body feeling rain, a pleasured sigh, remembering when it was not dry. A moment only, gone again, a memory in the damp, wet because the sun's dry lamp.
Beautiful.
You know, stuff like that.
But stuff like that, it's beautiful because it's... It's poignant. It's again. It's measured in its space and time. It's about rain, okay.
Yep.
And that's very simple. It's about rain. We take it for granted, but we need it. That's good stuff.
Have you ever, as a child, ever go out and play in the rain when it was raining? And not thunder and lightning. I'm talking about, but a steady, cold rain that your mother let you go outside and play.
Oh yes, absolutely. Just out. There's the she's pointing to the door. There's the door. Down the stairs, you went out the door, and you were in the rain. It doesn't matter with rain or it doesn't. You're outside, and we just wanted to be outside in almost any condition. It didn't matter what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, I often want to say that it was different being outside, but I noticed today with my little one, she loves going outside. Absolutely loves it. Doesn't care what the weather is. She's out there playing with the snow, in the rain, in the sun, hot, cold, doesn't matter.
Well, there's a wonderful book out by Richard Louvre. And he was the founder of the Children and Nature Network. And his thesis of the book was that we are fast approaching a time when children will have never played outdoors. And they will miss all the learning experiences that playing in the mud, picking up a leaf, looking at a bug, all of those sort of things. That are out there to learn from.
That's very profound, and it's very true. We live in a country area outside the metropolitan New York area, and we encourage our little one to get out as often as possible to do that kind of exploring. The other night, we were on the porch, and five doe just walked on by.
Mm-hmm.
We told her to be quiet, and they paid no attention to us, ignored us. And they built this condominium complex in an area that was traditionally a deer track.
Mm-hmm.
And deers will continue to track. They don't really care. If that's the track, they'll walk it. And these five doe just came right on by. And they were big. They were mature does.
Mm-hmm.
And in this time of the year, they are in good shape. And walking by, they went, and she was fascinated by.
Well,
them.
By this time of year, they should be pregnant if they've been with a buck.
At least that. But they were mature and they were big.
Did you ever have a snipe hunt as a kid?
Don't know what a snipe hunt is.
Ah, snipe hunt was you'd get a paper bag. And all of us kids would be out there, and the parents would say, well, go catch a snipe. And if you had somebody like you who didn't know what a snipe was, which is nothing, it's a fictitious little thing,
yes.
you tell them to put a flashlight behind a paper bag. And when the snipe runs in, to attracted by the light, you close the paper bag really quick-like, and you've caught yourself a snipe. And what you would do, the knowing kids would snap the paper bag with their fingers inside, say, I got one, and close up the top. And then, you jiggle it around and all the little kids who'd never caught a snipe, well, let me see. Those were fun. You did that at night.
That's the simple. Notice how simple that is.
Yeah.
That's wonderfully
and fun. And I've never forgot it. That's, and neither have my children.
That's amazing. Did you do it with your kids?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How about their kids' kids?
Those two, my grandchildren.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's fun.
And also you've got catching fireflies.
Well, that's something we all do.
You didn't do that in the city, though, did you?
No, but we spent a lot of time in the country. We made a point of. My mom and pop made a good mission to get us out of the city at least every summer.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it tremendously. I did. I spent a good part of my young life working on a farm.
Well, now that we've reminisced for
down,
an hour or
down
so.
Down memory lane.
Yes, indeed. It's been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. It always is, Ron. I enjoy this. This is... And I know that from the reaction we've gotten from our listeners, they do as well. And we thank you very much for your cards and letters. They used to say that. Thank you for your cards and letters.
That's right.
And now it's
tell them Carl sent you.
And please make sure that you do that. This is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and this is Roland. I thank you as always.
Pleasure.
And please remember, ladies and gentlemen, Smith Sabatino. Until next time, we're back.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.